My trainers, my gamers, my men, my Pokemon. What's going on? Welcome to the very first episode of Pokemon's Health, Pokemon Meets Men's Mental Health. I am your host, Roy Flash Gordon. I'm a former pro wrestler, current men's work facilitator, and also a VGC competitor in the Pokemon community. And I wanted to start this podcast to create a space where conversations around mental health, around masculinity, could be had amongst members of the Pokemon community specifically. And why the Pokemon community? Well, I've always wanted to compete. I wanted to find a way to integrate Pokemon VGC into my life, but also into the work that I do, supporting men around cases of mental health, supporting men in being more vulnerable, supporting men in having more fulfilling and powerful relationships. And I wanted to see, like, hey, like, can we put these things together? And absolutely, as I started my journey as a Pokemon VGCer, I just really looked around the community and saw a lot of connectedness. I saw a lot of friendship. I saw a lot of guys supporting other guys. And I was like, yo, there's something beautiful going on here in this community. And we get so many messages around being men and what it is to be a real man. And doing something as simple as playing this video game we enjoy could be something that's looked down upon due to what we should have done by a certain age, boyhood things we should have let go of by a certain age, due to these unwritten rules that some fucking person made up. And I know I've said goodbye to those things. I'm very curious about other people who have done the same thing. And clearly Pokemon may come off to those in the outside world, those who aren't woke, to the complexity of this game. They may see it as a more childish pursuit, and I have really grown to desire to challenge everything that, you know, I'm not supposed to do because I'm quote unquote a man. And I am super curious into, you know, what things guys have challenged, what things guys have rejected, what things guys might believe that are part of a more traditional masculine paradigm, as well as what are the real challenges guys are facing, and bringing some of those challenges to light, because there is a man out there right now going through some of that shit who is not going to go seek help, you know, not going to share himself because some other old man probably told him that would be weak to do something like that. And a real man handles things alone. This podcast is in existence to just show and really drive home the point that you are not alone. You don't have to do anything alone to prove you're a real man. You're already a real man. You're here. You know, you're on this planet. And guys who really want to lean into that, they want to question that, who want to define manhood for themselves, and they want to be real about their reality, their situation, and seek help, seek support, give support to other guys. If that's you, this is the place to be. So having these conversations around mental health, having these conversations around masculinity, and as well asking the very, very relevant, important question, what's Pokemon got to do with it? My Pokemon, what's there that you love about it? How's it supported you in life? I know it supported me in life in a lot of ways, including just giving me a place to create, a place to be good at something, a place to escape to when life got hard. So I have a feeling that a lot of guys might have those same benefits, and they may have a whole slew of other benefits, and I'm really excited to hear about that. So we'll be talking to content creators. We'll be talking to streamers. We'll be talking to VGC competitors. We'll be talking to casual players. Video game Pokemon, trading card game Pokemon, even guys who maybe haven't engaged with it in years. Maybe guys who just watched the anime. It's endless, and I love how many avenues that Pokemon's created for us to engage with the content, engage with the game, and connect to each other. So a little bit about my first guest. This guy is a spiritual advisor. He's a tarot card reader. He is a relationship expert when it comes to kind of the masculine kind of role in relationship, feminine role in relationship, and not to gender anything, but the energetics of these things. An energy that we all have parts of feminine, parts of masculine within us, and how we decide to express those things in the world is really what makes up our energy. So he's a powerful energy worker. We have a great conversation around inner child work. This man goes by the name of the motherfucking magician, at MFN Magician on Instagram, I believe TikTok and Twitter as well. He'll talk about his details and whatnot. But during this conversation around the inner child, I felt it was super relevant to perhaps things that we're connected to now as adults, that we were connected to as children, and how important those things were, and what's kind of come along with us on our journey, what we may have left behind, and what might be worth taking a look at from back then. So me and the motherfucking magician have that conversation. Very excited for you to hear it. So without further ado, here's my man Jammerin, the motherfucking magician. And here we are, here with my man Jay, the motherfucking magician. And Jay, how you doing, dude?
I'm doing pretty good. I appreciate you having me on the spotlight today.
Yeah, man, it's been a minute since we got to really rap with each other, so I'm excited for the conversation today. So, Pokemon's health audience, first time getting to interact with you. I think first qu question I got for you is simply, how old are you, and what is it that you do in the world?
I'll be 31 in December. Currently residing out of the United Kingdom, not too far from London. So I've been on this journey where I've been deeply kind of focused on kind of getting to know myself outside of like societal labels, different things I experienced in my past that I had kind of, how can I explain this? Different things from my past that I had kind of identified who I thought that I was. So I've been doing a lot of introspecting these last few years of my journey. Some different events happened in my life to where I realized that I was kind of living in a state of unconsciousness. So just kind of like on that unconscious autopilot, right? Where you're in a state of a flow, but you're not really fully conscious of yourself on all levels. So I ended up having some kind of awakening a few years back that kind of pushed me inward to, just start deconstruct different false constructs that I was kind of operating out of. So that pushed me on a journey to where now I hold space for other people, men and women, to get to know themselves on a deeper level outside of who we think we are, or who we were taught to be. And so, to some degree, a lot of my work kind of ranges in like the realm of doing quantum healing. So, I hold space. I'm very gifted tarot card reader, so have a very deep sense of strong sense of empathy. So, I hold space for people. I do readings, sound bowl healings, different in-person kind of retreats type of vibe. Things really peaceful to help people to kind of harmonize with themselves. And I also do energy clearing such as Reiki, light language activations, helping people to bridge the gap between like their mental, emotional, physical, vibrational, energetic, and spiritual bodies. And so it's been a massive journey that has also pushed me deeper into getting to know myself, in regards to my relationship with the universe, my relationship, and what is my purpose in regarding to how I show up within the collective consciousness, in regards to other people. So right now I'm on a path of where I'm just pretty much, leaving my mark on the world, showing up for myself in ways that I haven't before. Also holding space for my own personal healing and transformation journey. And to some degree, that's, how me and you end up crossing paths because we're kind of similar, have a similar background in like what we do for
Yeah.
what we do and how we show up in the world. And so, yeah, so that's pretty much a little base summary.
Yeah, man. Thanks for that. Yeah, I think most of my guests we having on the podcast would be so I actually look at the list, and I've encountered these people in all sorts of ways. But there when we encountered each other, I did not think that we're gonna have something that bonded us over Pokemon as well, which is the beautiful thing about it. Like, there are fans of all ages, walks of life, professions, getting busy
community in the community, and definitely one of my most fascinating guests in the work that you do in the spiritual realm, and helping people really get in tune with themselves in that way. Next question I had for you is, how did you get into Pokemon, and how do you currently engage with the community?
Man, Pokemon has always been a massive fucking part of my life. It's like, where do you even, it's like kind of like, where do I even start? I think the first Pokemon game I ever came across was either Yellow, Red, or Blue. That's where it all started for me. I love the Pokemon Yellow series because you got to get all the generational starters. And the gameplay was a lot different than Red and Blue. But I started at, I don't recall the exact age, but I started at a very young age. I just fucking loved it. You just stay up all night and play it. I didn't care if I had school the next morning or not. Like I used to just be I had a Game Boy at the time. I mean, that takes it all the way back. My Game Boy Color at the time, I had the little see-through purple one where you could see like the inside of it. It wasn't like a solid color, so it just takes me back to those days. But like, I've always loved Pokemon, and so recently, when as you get older, sometimes you kind of drift apart from some of those parts of your childhood that was really meaningful or purposeful. And so, like, I played a lot of the kind of future generational games, like the Crystal Saga, Gold, Blue, Emerald, Sapphire, Ruby. Like, I played almost every one of them. I think there's maybe like two generations that I missed, but when Scarlet end up coming out, I'm like, you know what? I have to fucking have it. I have to have that game. So I've been diving into that. One thing I will say, due to my excitement, I felt like I rushed through the game. I didn't really give myself a chance to explore and learn the world map. I don't know my way around that world map to save my life.
Same.
But I use yeah. So I like just rushed through it. So I've been thinking about either getting the other game and then playing that one slow, or just resetting the current one I had and then just redoing it all over. That way I can get a feel for, like going in all the buildings, talking to other people. One thing I will say, right, because I was going to ask you about this. I wanted to learn how to I don't know if it's EV training, but train my Pokemon to where like their base stats are higher. Because I notice when I play online, I get my ass whooped because I think those players, like, they base stat their Pokemon really high. So like, I be coming with all these combos, all these moves, and like my Pokemon don't be doing no damage. And then it's like, as soon as they hit me, I'm like fainting, literally like two moves. I'm like, what?
Man.
So that's another reason why I wanted to. I think I have one Pokemon that is properly statted, because I waited till it was like I got to the end of the game. I was like, all right, I'm about to blow one of these stats up. So their moves are pretty tight, but like all the rest of them are just all based out to where like I can't stand a chance online.
Yeah, dude. So what happens when you play with your in-game team? It's basically once you get to the point where you're playing online, you want your in-game team to not be what you use, or you find a way to erase all their stats, which you can do with certain berries. I can send you a guide and whatnot.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like you're talking about once you get to playing online, those people are definitely statting their Pokemon because that's where it's competitive and that's the best means of getting practice. And Flash Daddy has learned all the tricks of the trade in the last several months. I did play competitive way back in the day when it was way harder to EV train. You had to
Give you
breed.
train,
There
yeah.
was no way to get good EVs outside of breeding. So you had to breed eggs and eggs on eggs on eggs on eggs and hatch all those motherfuckers and then hope that they get the right IVs. And then you could never get perfect. You maybe get perfect, but if you did get perfect, like you had an edge. It was a whole different game back then. But like it's a lot easier for the casual fan to kind of get into competitive these days. And I definitely can give you plenty of tips on that.
I would
And I love
I would appreciate that.
Yeah, I
Because
love
are yours
that.
EV trained?
Oh
See
yeah,
that's why when
but I'm not
we
gonna use those against you because I know you weren't there yet. I'm gonna use my in-game team. My in-game
Okay,
team,
cool. Cool.
it can do work. It'll do work when we
It'll
do
do
our
it.
battle
Okay.
with
No,
the
that's
in-game
cool. Yeah,
teams.
because I wanna definitely kind of revisit that. And I noticed that they got some new downloadable content.
Oh yeah, we'll
Is it
talk
like an
about
is that
that.
like an after like a post game?
Yeah, you got a post game. So there's going to be two versions of that. There's going to be the one dropping in about a week. And then there's going to be a second one, and I think maybe a month and a half after. But yeah,
the teal mask and the indigo disc.
Yeah. Have you looked at any of the trailers?
I looked at some of the trailers, and I was trying to read more about it because I'm trying to understand, like, exactly what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think it's just like a post game that they kind of created, yep. You know, to keep the journey kind of going a little bit.
You can get new TMs. There's going to be new Pokemon. And the second one, they're bringing all the starters back. They're releasing Pokemon from old generations, all that good stuff. That's what they do in the DLCs. Sword and Shield had one too. That was kind of the blueprint for it. And Sword and Shield honestly went stupid with its DLCs, and really introduced a lot of new stuff into the game. So we're hoping Scarlet Violet does the same. I wasn't sure how up on the news you were, so I might have a little game at the end. And it's not really a game. It's more of a, let's get your opinion on some of the new Pokemon sort of things, but we'll do that towards the end of the interview. I did want to bring one last thing up. You said how you got back into the game because you missed a couple of generations and Scarlet came out and you were like, oh no, I need that shit. Me getting back into Pokemon, I've always played the main series games. I never missed one. I may have missed Gen 5 for... Yeah, so I missed Black and White, but I ended up going back to play it before Gen 6 came out. Like, I saw Gen 6.
I didn't get to do that one. I still want to play it, though.
Oh, that's one of the best ones. If you
was it really?
Find a DS, pop that bitch in. I mean, it feels really different. I was talking to a guy on stream yesterday. It just feels really different because you only have that generation's Pokemon for the most part until you get past a certain point in the game where you can get more. So a lot of people did not like that. So there's that. But the way he tells the story is just a whole different ballgame. But for the most part, I played the main series games. But last year, I don't know. Yeah, at some point I was doing some inner child work and I was like, yo, what does my inner child want to do? And he was like, I want some more Pokemon in my life. So I was just like, you know, start to get some booster packs. Cause I always played the games and, you know, I was like, I knew the next one was coming out. It was always a fun time. I started to just get some booster packs and like get that fresh experience that I had as a little kid anyway, of opening up a pack and just being like, okay, what am I going to get? You know, is there a holographic in there? Yeah. What's it going to be? All that good stuff. So I wanted to get your, like, what do you say about, like, you know, giving your inner child like those things that they enjoyed way back when, and what that has done or what that can do for, you know, your life and happiness?
To be honest, man, me playing my, like, the Pokemon games or just anything with, like, my Nintendo, but especially the Pokemon games, like, my inner child is, it goes into, like, this deep state of peace.
Yeah.
I can get consumed for hours playing, just diving in, having that space. And it's also a form of me also holding space for that part of myself, because just the way that life goes, we can tend to start growing up and disconnect from those more youthful aspects of ourselves. So that for me is like a prime bridge of reconnection, of reconnecting with that part of myself that still exists, you know, even though I've gone through a lot of changes externally, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, there's still that deep, I feel like it's very powerful for that deep inner child healing, which is why you have a lot of people when they do kind of engage in stuff from their childhoods, it kind of interacts with like this very powerful aspect of themselves where like you just surface. But yeah, man, it's so deeply inner child healing playing these games, if I can be honest, man.
You really said something there, that sense of peace is like, I'm sure I'll probably make a post about this to go deeper on it. But like, I grew up in an abusive household. I don't know what your childhood was like necessarily. We haven't talked a lot about that in our relationship yet. But like, my household abusive as fuck. And I would tell you, like, I got my hands on my first Game Boy because one of my math teacher gave it to me. He just knew we didn't have shit, you know, and he was like, here's my old Game Boy. I want you to have it. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I didn't have any games to play. Like, yeah. I didn't have anything. And one day I'm walking and I see this beat up, dirty ass copy of Pokemon Red on the fucking street. And I'm like,
are you serious, bro? That's how you got it?
Yes. I'm like, that's not it. And I was like, even if it is, like, this doesn't work. And I did the thing we used to do.
You used to blow it. Yeah.
I went against the batteries for that Game Boy, popped it in, and it worked. And I was so happy. And I started a new game. I picked Charmander, all that good shit. Like that.
Did you used to change the color? Did you figure out how to change the color of the... Because it's a certain, like, when you start a red and blue, if you hold a certain button down, you can hit left and right. And it would change like the color of the whole background of the game.
Oh, I don't know. I might have. I'm not sure. But either way, like that was it, right? And that like took me through years of my childhood in that abusive household. And it was just like, yo, that was peace inside that place. Like I could be in a whole nother place or this entire journey, you know, it being like, you know, in my head, you know, I'm playing on the game and it's a 2D, but in my head, it's like the anime, right? I'm in that bitch, you know, and that absolutely, that was peace. And absolutely, that's a piece of myself I want to keep in contact with. It's crazy the power games have for us. So let's switch gears. We talked some healing already, which is great. You know, that's part of the topic, but masculinity is another one of the things that, you know, of course I'm really interested in. I know you speak on as well. I think I wanted to get a question out, which in your opinion, what is a man, quote unquote, supposed to be?
If I could be honest with you, is actually still something that I'm in a process of still learning for myself. My dad was in my life, you know, for the most part, but I kind of felt like he put me in a space where he just expected me to figure things out. So what I would have wanted my dad to kind of show me the ropes on a more interpersonal level, and be more direct with like the seeds that he was planting in regards for me to like know what a man should be, how to properly lead a family, how to lead myself. Yes. So a lot of my teachings, I would say, that I've absorbed from my dad was just me observing him in his domain, but realizing that there was still things that maybe my dad still needed to kind of, you know, work through for himself. So I feel like I got like that foundation of what a man is supposed to be, but it was like it didn't go beyond that. So these are some, it's very, I think it's a very powerful question, because this is something that I've recently have been really just addressing within myself and my own journey, because now I am 30, I am older, you know, I'm moving to that part of my life where I'm completely, you know, responsible for myself on all facets. And so definitely I've been, the first thing that I realized is that cultivating how I can teach and instill that foundation within myself is teaching myself to have a healthy relationship with my emotions, has been a massive important factor for me, because I've learned that through me taking the time to work through building a healthy relationship with my emotions, I'm able to control how I show up, how I react to certain situations, how I speak, how my behaviors and how my actions influence the people around me. So, taking accountability, I'm happy that I'm
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
going on this rabbit hole. Taking accountability would be the first thing I would say is taking accountability for self. I would say would be the first thing that I feel kind of ties into the energy around healthy masculinity, manhood, because when I was younger and I really didn't have control of my emotions, I used to project a lot of my pain onto the people around me, where I wasn't as accountable for how certain decisions or how I was speaking or things that I was saying. So I had all this masculine power, but I wasn't able to control it yet. And so it caused me to be a little chaotic and ungrounded, or I wouldn't go to length to say emotionally unstable, but I wasn't really balanced in my emotions. So after going through a lot of the healing work that I've done, especially diving into my childhood, diving into my ancestry, looking at my relationship with my mother, my father, my family, my inner teenager, and even my inner adult, has helped me to at least create some kind of foundation to where I'm able to have accountability for myself and being accountable for my emotions and my triggers and my reactions to certain things. So definitely taking accountability
That's awesome.
would be kind of like the first. But like I said, it's something I'm still kind of in a process of learning. And then also I noticed a big component with me, I had to work through a lot of things pertaining to my self-worth, of being connected to my masculine energy and my masculine presence. So I did a lot of healing surrounding, or had a lot of realizations regarding like my self-worth and like, do I feel worthy of, you know, leading myself or leading my family or leading my partner, or just being that strong masculine presence. That, 'cause I had to realize that as a man, I also had to learn how to have space for myself and space for the people in my environment. And that's something that I've always struggled with my whole life, especially due to some of my traumas and some of the things that I had to overcome in my life journey. I had just kind of learned how to have space for myself. And then as I got older, toward the chapter of my life now, it's consistently caused me to also be aware of having space for myself and the people around me. So that's something that I've been kind of working on the last 2 years.
That's beautiful, dude. I love right off the bat, like I believe number one, or at least extremely, like super high at the top of the list, is that ability to be accountable. And like even in your answer, you are very accountable to who you've been in the past, which I really appreciate in that answer. And I asked the question in that way because I feel like, you know, like just straight up, like where in your opinion, like from where you were, like with no judgment of you know, either any answer, you know, what do you think it's supposed to be? And I loved where yours went. You know, you got a little of the past, you got a little bit of where you are today. And my next question is going to be, have you had any moments where you didn't feel like you lived up to the standard of being a real man, again, quote unquote, real man? So, you know, it could be in the past, it could be today as you're taking this exploration. What do you have to say in response to that?
I think that's what recently kind of brought up like my recent chapter of healing surrounding like my self-worth, because I started questioning like, you know, okay, so what am I doing with my life currently? Taking a look at the decisions that I was making, that I'm currently making. And so it just ties back to that self-worth component. That's been like one of my most recent, because I was like you said, all these expectations that we have as men that we have to live up to. So I found myself being hard on myself regarding where I was at in my life, or where society tells me that I should be in my life, and actually present moment exactly where I'm at, and realize that I have to allow myself to live for me and not based on what I'm told I should be doing right now. You know, because they pitch it to us. Oh, we need to, by a certain age, have a college degree, a white picket fence, a house, this massive 9-to-5, you know, this and that. And so, and then people's lives are kind of moving according to their own timetables. And so when you don't live up to societal expectations, or even your family or culture or traditional expectations, it can cause you to start being hard on yourself. And I find myself slipping into that mindset where I kind of have to, you know, be aware of where my thoughts were going and how it was leading my emotions. And then I was the one that was creating that instability of me not feeling worthy, that I was at a certain milestone in my life, because I started comparing myself to where I should be and where I was, instead of just accepting where I am right now and then continuously building from as I'm doing. So I think that's the biggest component, or like an eye opener for me, is that to not mentally and emotionally attack myself.
Yeah.
When I look at, you know, a lot of the things that I've accomplished, I've done a lot of amazing things. You know, one of the biggest things for me is in my life is learning to be flexible, because I've been living out of 3 different countries. Yeah. And I think over the last 2 years, you know, because I've been in the U.S. and I had to relocate for, you know, relocate. I was born in the U.S. and I relocated to the, you know, the U.K. for 2 years. Then I went back to the U.S. for like 3 months, and I moved back to the U.K. Then I had to go to Spain for a week, and now I'm back in the U.K. and I'm going back to the U.S. Yeah. for like a week. So I think that's where I was. I think that's where I started kind of being hard on myself, because I knew that my journey was going to require me to travel a little bit. And I found myself kind of looking at myself like, can I lead myself through a lot of the transits that I'm experiencing in my life that's requiring me to have to be flexible, but grounded in these different like spaces in the world? Because, you know, most people like to ground in one environment and cultivate and expand. But it's like, I've been expanding. There was a time period, you know, in my travels where I lived out of a hotel for 3 months.
Yeah.
And so like, it's just, I felt like that kind of really helped me to be very fluid. Cause you know, my business that I have, it's online. So I'm able to pretty much do it from anywhere in the world. So just one of my biggest obstacles for me is being grounded, no matter what my external reality looks like.
Yeah.
As I'm traveling about. And so that's, like I said, it tied into that self-worth of me kind of being hard on myself, because I found myself wanting to strive higher and have all these higher expectations. But when I did that, I took myself out of my present flow of abundance in regarding to where my life, my physical vessel is right now. So I've been working on being more present in regards to grounding in my masculinity.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? Like, we've done a lot of work, you and I, on ourselves and growing in the areas of things like self-worth. Do you think there's been a time where you're like, I did it, I mastered self-worth, and then, you know, you go through what you go through and it's like, shit, here I am again. I guess.
Yeah. Working self-worth through different layers. Yeah. I strongly feel that sometimes healing isn't linear. It can happen in different layers. Like, you know, like you said, I did a lot of self-worth healing like a year ago, and then I was clear of it. I had nothing come up, and then I've gone through a lot of different cycles of healing, and then I find myself, like I said, within the last month, hit another wall right back at almost like a deeper layer connecting to my self-worth. So I definitely feel that healing, you know, at least for me, has happened, and not in a non-linear fashion, to where, you know, certain stuff can resurface, or certain wounds or certain energies or emotions could be hiding behind other things. But I've definitely hit that point where I make sure as a priority to give myself recognition for how far I've come. So, you know, I like to celebrate my small moments just as much as my massive accomplishments. And so I've definitely been in that space where I'm like, yeah, I fucking shredded that. I worked through that, you know, cleared these father wounds, and oh, I cleared this. I worked through some sexual trauma, or I did this, and I moved through that. And then, you know, I opened my heart up and, like, you know, just allowing myself to receive that recognition for that investment that I took to, you know, to cultivate my growth.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. I just, in case you don't know, I think you're a total badass. Like, you're someone I look up to, the way you've, you know, created your life, your business, and been someone who's like, who's declared, like, I'm doing it different. Like, I don't want to do the 9-to-5. I don't want to do the everyday thing. And I want to help people. And you truly do those things. Like, you're a total badass, as far as I'm concerned. I certainly also want to say I resonate with you in the whole, like, you know, because it's like, you know, I've put that same flag in the ground and I've not reached where you are yet, right? So I constantly bump up against the, oh, damn, like, you know, it's hard to take care of, you know, the day to day. Sometimes money's just fucking tough, right? And it's hard to feel like, oh man, am I, you know, less of an adult because this stuff is so hard, where, you know, the person next to me is doing it so easy. But a lot of other things about that person next to me is like, they're not doing this work. They are actually miserable. Yeah. They may have the money and that shit unlocked, but there's a lot they don't that I do. It's really interesting.
100%.
So another one I wanted to ask you, you kind of went over you know, that challenge, so we can move back into Pokemon and kind of how it's contributed to your happiness. And that's kind of the big question. You know, I see like so much, honestly, with the work that we do, and like so much of that in the power of community that the Pokemon community has. And I'm wondering how it specifically, like, what have you loved about Pokemon, either the franchise, as a franchise, as specifically a video game, however you've engaged with it? What do you love about that has, you know, contributed to your happiness?
I feel like it contributes to me stepping into a space of honoring my creative expression, you know, because you're able to kind of build your own teams. There's different types, you know, having to take that time to train. I mean, now with Scarlet, they all level up together, but before it was a more personal thing, because you had to train each one individually, unless you had that experience share. But like, just taking the time to put together a team, I feel like that matches my personality. Mm-hmm. You know, it's to some degree, I've always enjoyed playing chess, but it's like a different strategic game for me that allows me to still kind of have that mindset where, you know, I got to be strategic about my move, you know, planning what kind of teams I want, and the different, make sure I get enough different elements to where they could, or different types where they can kind of, you know, counteract any kind of types that I may come across. So I feel like it's helped me to be more creative and more grounded, and just more accepting. I love the franchise. Like, I haven't been able to play all of the games, which I am going to do. But I've played at least about 70% of them, to where I have a good understanding that I just enjoy the brand. I enjoy the concept. I've always been drawn to it. Like I said, ever since I had my Game Boy and got my first generation that came out back then in the 90s. And it's just been something that kind of carried over to where, like, I wasn't expecting them to drop a new game. But then when this one came out, I was like, I had to get it that day. Yeah. I don't pre-order a lot of games, but I'm like, I'm getting this game as soon as it drops.
Yeah.
And so it's been really, really cool. But I just love it. Like, now with Scarlet, I kind of liked, you know, the direction where they kind of took the graphics, in a sense. I know I was reading online, some people felt like they rushed it because they didn't finish. It felt like some of the graphics weren't finished. Like you could see through certain stuff, but that part really didn't bother me. I accepted it for what it was. I appreciate it for what it was. I appreciate it for what was presented to me. They gave me a whole new world, a whole new map, a whole new concept. One thing I would have preferred or would have liked is if they would have allowed you to be able to play the gym leaders over.
Yeah, you can.
I don't think they let you do it once.
Oh, once. Oh, well, shit.
Yeah, I just learned once.
I just learned that you can do against the the villains team, whatever the fuck. You can play those.
Yeah.
You can do the tournament.
Yeah, I circle back around through there a few times, and then I know that like in the academy too, you can do the little championships because I think you only can do like the. You do the gym leaders, and then they have you go through it, and you can do it again. And then I think like what their version of like the Elite Four, you do that, and then it just goes straight to the academy.
You can do the academy tournament as many times as you want, and it seems to shuffle up the trainers, so it's something.
Yeah, no. I like I said, I appreciate it. I love the game. I love the concept. It was so different. At one point, I was like, I thought they were going to send us back in time at the.
Oh yeah, I thought so too. I was like, where the fuck is this going?
I'm like, are we about to go back and see the past? We never know. It could be a downloadable content that comes out. They can
do whatever, bro.
The world is limitless. But no, it was if I could give it, I would definitely give it like an 8.5 out of 10. Just because it met all my needs. Like it had the longevity. Like I was spending hours on it. Like I said, I rushed and played it. So to some degree, I felt like I really didn't play it because I just kind of I stayed up all night just playing it for multiple days. So I rushed through it. So I want to go through it. That's why I think instead of just deleting this one, I'll go get the other version and then take my time and move through it really, really slowly so that I can learn, because all the other Pokemon games, I know the maps. I kind of know where stuff is. I know where the hidden stuff is. And some stuff that I still haven't done yet, because right now I'm in a process of working towards completing my Pokedex. And then there's also, I found that there's like some legendary Pokemon that you can catch, but you got to get all the keys to their tombs. Yeah. I haven't done that part yet.
Oh man, you got plenty to do, dog. You got plenty to do.
You made it to that space yet?
Oh yeah. I don't know that I've done literally everything, but I didn't have everything that's going to be relevant to competitive and going around playing tournaments and whatnot. And I don't know if you knew, but that's a big part of what I'm like doing with my life. I'm like, I'm traveling all these tournaments and I'm making a run for Worlds, baby. I don't know how to go, but I'm trying.
In order for me to even stand a chance, I got to get that EV training concept down.
Yeah, man. You can, definitely get you in their Discord so you can, meet some of the guys that are in there, and they're way smarter than I am about this stuff. I'm still kind of learning it, but, once you get that down and start to get on ladder, you're going to, it's a whole new game. You're going to be fucking, if base game gets you like that giddy, like so will the competitive scene. That though, let's hop into a battle. Let's do this thing.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Yeah, we'll fire it up.
That was close.
That was close. I allowed you to do this.
I appreciate that. No, definitely. You had me sweating bullets over here, man.
All good.
I really want to start my game over and start fresh, bro, because I need to do my Pokemon right.
Yeah, I don't know, though. No. In game, you play the game. You don't worry about IVs and shit. That's when you start to worry about IVs, EVs, and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, dog. All right. So I got one more thing before you go. Just real quick. All
right, for sure.
I want your like 10 second feedback on some of these new mods. You ready?
Let me see.
All right. So first we have Raging Bolt. What do you think of him?
He looks dope. He looks kind of prehistoric to me. It's interesting because like with this generation, like I've noticed like the names are a lot different.
One of the Paradox Mons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like them. Cool. I haven't seen one of those in my game yet.
Well, you won't. It's one of the DLCs. Or it's going to be available, maybe not through DLC, but they're going to put it in raids and whatnot.
Yeah, he looks cool. He looks really dope. Looks powerful. Is he? I'm trying to see what the type. Is he electric?
Yeah, he's going to be electric dragon.
Okay, yeah, that'll be a dope combo.
How about Diplin?
It kind of looks like a candy apple, if I can be honest.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. Do you know his
okay,
line
I'm like, from he Gen looks 8? Like something to eat.
One of his other evolutions, so he's a branch evolution. He starts as like a worm and an apple, and one of them evolves into like a dragon grass type where it's like flapping its apple wings, and the other one looks like an apple pie. So now they have Diplin, the candy apple. What do you think?
Very interesting. What type is he?
I think grass, maybe grass. Honestly, I forget. At least half grass though.
I mean, he looks decent. I don't know if I would ever lead with him in a battle.
Yeah. I wonder what he does. We'll see. Some are speculating fairy, or it might use some fairy.
He looks decent. I definitely would add him to, like, you know, I definitely go about catching him, but I don't know if I would ever battle with him.
Yeah. This is Archuladon, the evolution of Duraludon, which is from Gen 8, which you might not have played. Did you play Galar?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So this evolves from basically a steel dragon, and now it's a bigger steel dragon. And apparently it was already a problem, and now they gave it an evolution.
Yeah, I like him. Sturdy, strong. Looks like he got a lot of resistance. Can take a couple. Look like he can take some hits for sure.
No, he bro. Probably
and with that steel dragon type, that's a good mix to have as well.
Yeah. All right. This one's going to be one of the DLC legends. There's a bunch of DLC legends. I'm going to just show you this one. And honestly, I forgot his name, but I think it looks funny. Okay, here it is. Okidoki. What do you think? Okidogi. What do you think?
He kind of got like a, you know, one of them sinister, badass kind of looks, if I could be honest.
It's good, right? It feels
definitely
good.
Looks like something that could stir up some trouble. Yeah. We got a few tricks up his sleeve. Apparently, he kind of radiates a lot of power to me, if I could be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Is he like a dark and something?
I think he's a dark poison type, and because he has that chain, like, every time he
got
gets
some
touched,
kind of vibe to where he. I think that's that sinister look I'm picking up on, that dark type for sure. No, I like how the direction that a lot of the like the Pokemon are a lot different for me, because I've missed a few generations, but this one is like, I feel like they're branching out outside of what typical Pokemon used to look like. Yeah. So they're like exploring. I feel like they're being more creative and exploring and giving us different concepts.
I appreciate that bit. That's what's up.
Yeah.
All right. So you beat me and you gave us some good
I barely beat you. It just
all right, yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
It was close. It was one little slip up. You definitely could have took that whole match.
Yeah,
I feel like I got lucky because them outrages just kept building. So,
man, they were slapping. They were slapping. Give yourself your flowers, though. Any final? This is a fun one. I think we went a lot of places. You have any final reflections for? Let's think of just a man who is generally going through it. He's trying to figure things out. Do you have any just a general like one last like piece of advice or a tip? Or a trick, or just anything that's resonating right now for that man, if you could give him some words.
Slowing the fuck down. Slowing down and grounding deeper into the present moment. That's been one of the biggest lessons for me over the course, I think, of the last month once Venus went in retrograde, was slowing down. I didn't realize how I had got myself in a state where I always felt like I needed to do something. So I was always doing, jumping. And even it's almost like, even if you were to go to meditate, I wasn't just allowing my mind to rest. I was meditating to create. So I was creating. So the biggest advice I can give to anyone, especially, you know, something I recently learned, is just slowing down and enjoying the present for what it really is. And if it's meant to work out, it will work out. But 10 times out of 10, it is going to work out. Mm-hmm. So just slowing down and kind of, it's weird because I saw this clip today. I think it was from Dr. Strange, where it was saying to not go against the current, but use the force of the current to launch you forward to where you want to be. So it's one of those things of like, if I was to look at my day today, if it was like a current, just focusing on what I can do today and the things that are outside of my control, not allowing myself to stress over it. So just slowing down and being still and just moving with the current of your life.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that, Jay. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you being on. I love you so much. Good to spend some time with you and get to know you a little bit better. And I think
this was dope. I appreciate this. I appreciate having this space.
And where can the folks find you if they want to look you up and potentially get any work with you?
You can find me through my Instagram, which is the MFM Magician. I'm still in the process of kind of getting consistent with like my TikTok and like my other social media handles, but definitely my Instagram, it will be a direct point of contact for sure.
Beautiful. All right, Jay, thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day. We'll chat to you.
All right, you as well, brother.
And that is a wrap with my boy, the motherfucking magician, Jamarin. Really enjoyed that conversation. I particularly really enjoyed us talking about the inner child. This podcast is a product of me doing a lot of inner child work, and I believe the us that we are right now getting into contact with that past version of us can really go a long way, even if it's just like checking in with that part of you and saying, you know, get into contact with what his hopes and dreams were and really seeing if you are, you know, living up to that, really living into the biggest life possible. When I realized I was kind of failing my inner child in that, things really turned around. And this podcast and pursuing my kind of VGC competitor career is a big part of that. So hopefully you get some inspiration here. Saw some inspiration here. I really like Jay because he challenges men to take on the task of growing, of healing, to grow. And I don't think that could be understated. And he challenges men like I challenge men, and we challenge each other in that way. He's a very, you know, dear friend to me. And I was just so glad when I found out that he was into Pokemon too. And he's not a super serious competitor. And we will talk to some serious competitors on this podcast. But I really love to see guys who are maybe not even engaging it with it in a big way, like I'm currently doing, but always just seeing how we can still go back to that fandom. We can still go back to those childhood moments. We can still be connected to the game and its evolution and our evolution. It's been fun to grow up together. And Jamarin, I appreciate you coming on. If you enjoyed this, please make sure you get the podcast a follow. Follow me at Pokemon's Health on pretty much any platform, IG and Twitter. Working on being a Twitter person, as that's where the Pokemon community lives. So follow me at those channels and look out for the next episode. We'll be posting weekly from here on out. This as the first one, hopefully there's a companion episode right next to it coming out as well, so you can hop a little bit right into the action again and see a little bit more about what I'm about, what the mission is about, and more about other members of the community. Thanks for listening. Talk soon.